Good morning. Today's scripture reading is a couple of shorter passages. The first one is in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15, and then we'll jump over to 1 Timothy. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and then 15 to 16. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning I just thank you so much for the freedom and opportunity that we have to meet here, to worship you, to have fellowship, and especially, Lord, to hear from you. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for the inspiration and guidance that it gives us. And I just pray this morning that you would be with the pastor as he speaks to us, and that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Last night I was thinking about the message that I was going to present to you this morning, and I was praying that God will help me do it. And I said, who's going to think that is relevant anymore? Or as popular anymore to talk about the devil? And who does ever think of the devil, or the depiction that we sometimes present the devil or depict the devil as whatever is going to be understood? And this morning I opened the Gazette, and the cartoon was, I don't know how many of you saw that cartoon in the Gazette, two frames of picture, one someone is sitting and someone is talking, and I'm not going to talk about the joke itself or the cartoon. And yet when on the next frame, the person turns around and is the devil with horns and a little beard and ugly looking. I said, well, okay, at least they still depict the devil as an ugly creature with horns. If you asked people what they think of the devil, or how does the devil look like, they would probably say that he has horns, a tail, and he looks ugly and dangerous. There are many misconceptions about the devil. Cartoon characterizations are not true, though. The devil can look whatever he wants to look like to help him accomplish his mission. And again, why am I talking about the devil? Maybe it is because no one else, it seems, that is talking about the devil. And it's like declaring war. It is as if having a country or being in a country where the country never plans about enemy attacks or is not ready and to defend itself, and does not recognize the enemy when the enemy has declared war against that particular country. And we as Christians are at war, the Bible says. The Bible says that we don't fight, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it is against what? Unseen powers, spiritual powers. And Apostle Paul said, I fought the good fight, I finished the course, the race. So that means that we are in a constant race or battle, and yet we don't know what we're fighting against or who we're fighting against. The church often presents Christ as the power or God or Jesus who has come to give us joy and salvation and help us with our sickness and provide us enough money and to help us deal with situations that we can't deal. And all that may be true, and yet that's not all. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. One of the things I've noticed more and more becoming more popular with Christians is the slogans we use about our salvation, and yet our commitment seems to be very vague. The devil can look like one of the most handsome men that you ever met. Now, the devil is not stupid, you know. The devil is the master of all lies. The devil is not going to go to a young lady like a, I don't know, old, dying person and try to convince them about something. And the devil is not going to go to a young lady as an ugly-looking man, but he's going to go to her as a good-looking, handsome man who has compassion, has love, has understanding, and he understands her more than her parents. He understands her more than her husband and children, and starts befriending her, and that's where the temptation starts. And the devil is not stupid enough to go to a man and pretend to be a friend and yet be so unlikable person. He can appear as a blue-eyed blonde or a dark-skinned beauty, as an exciting business opportunity, a bottle of booze, as a sure win of gambling tip, an exciting experience with the boys or girls, etc. And you say, well, I have no problems with women, I have no problems with men, I have no problems with booze, I don't even go out with the boys or girls, and so you think that you're safe. As a matter of fact, the devil, as I said, he is the master of all lies, and if you don't like any of this stuff, he will come in someone or something that you like. That could be just anything. Satan not only disguises himself as a person, but he will disguise himself to whatever will lure people into his trap. You know, when we talk about traps, certain fish are attracted to certain lures, or and mice, or whatever. The devil knows exactly what Vahe needs to be tempted, and what Joseph needs to be tempted, what someone else needed, and he's going to use that. And that thing will obviously be very exciting, very desirable, very handsome, very beautiful, whatever excites us. Satan is cunning, crafty, and subtle. He does not come as an ugly tempter or the enemy saying that I have come to tempt you and destroy your life. But usually, he does destroy the lives of those who follow him. Satan will come even as a religious person or philosophy. The Bible is very clear that satanic religions will rise and increase. So you see, the devil tried with women to this man. And he tried with drinking, with drugs, with gambling, with lying, with cheating, and did not succeed. And he says, what am I going to do? Oh, he goes to church. I'm going to become now his friend. And I'm going to start sowing seeds of doubt, seeds of whatever, questions that will lead him away from his faith, and then I will lead him to the things that he never wanted to go to. So the devil knows exactly what to do. Now, who is the devil? Obviously, the devil is not the person that, the picture you look at this ugly looking man with horns and a tail. As a matter of fact, he doesn't have a body because the devil is a spirit, and the devil can be anyone or anything he wants to be. So our fight is very difficult when we want to fight the devil. As a matter of fact, while preparing this, I was just thinking, now, is the devil getting very angry at me for choosing this message to speak against him? Is he going to do something? And the and you start fearing. And you know that it's not a joke when you start thinking that way. And then I thought of the verse, greater is he who is in you than the one who is in the world. And I said, if God is with me, what can be against me? And that's how it is. Yes, the devil is a scary thing. The devil will bring us to the edge and then mercilessly push us down to the pit. And yet, there's always God ready to save us at the last moment. Satan will appear as a good-looking and charismatic person with great many followers, for example, someone like Oprah and her twisted philosophy, New Age Church of Oprah. Have you ever heard of that? People only hear about Oprah, the nice-looking girl who is attractive, and then you start searching about her church and her beliefs. She used to be a Baptist, and now she doesn't believe in God. She believes in all kinds of gods, and yet people are following her because she is attracting people. She has that magnetic power, and you say, where does that power come? I'm not going to say any more about her because there are so many others who don't publicly say that they have their own church and yet lead people astray to beliefs and philosophies that take them away from God. There are many false doctrines. Or any of those who appear to be preaching the gospel and yet they are promoting themselves for monetary and political or other gains. And you probably have your own understanding, your own opinion about some philosophies, some cults, some the occult, some people who claim to be evangelical preachers, some who claim to be miracle workers, some who claim to have powers. And you may have your own opinion and understanding and explanation, and yet the devil will make someone rise to the point of being able to even perform miracles. We've seen the devil at work when Moses went and demonstrated the power of God. The magicians also started doing the same thing. And if you think that the devil has no power, you're wrong, because the devil has a lot of power, and yet the power of God is what stops him from destroying each one of us. They seem to be preaching the gospel, and yet it is a Christless gospel. There's nothing wrong with the gospel, actually. The gospel says, do good, love your enemy, and do all kinds of good things, and live a clean life. And yet, when there is that gospel could be a Christless gospel, meaning that everything that is said, it attracts you, it makes you feel good, it makes you feel comfortable, it makes you feel that you are in the right religion, and yet when Christ is missing, that religion leads you nowhere. That philosophy will lead you nowhere. If I from this pulpit or anyone from this pulpit preaches a gospel that is Christless, you're doomed because Christ is missing. And the only sermon, the only message that will affect someone is when that message and that sermon comes from the Holy Spirit, from God Himself. And when you see big numbers, don't be excited. But when you see a small group or even a large group on their knees praying and caring and making a commitment, the problem today is that we say we are committed to God, we say that we are committed to our church, we say that we are committed to our faith and Jesus Christ, and yet we live as if we are committed to no one. As someone said, Satan knows Scripture. He can quote scripture. He can twist scripture to fit his needs. He knows scripture. He can quote scripture and he can twist scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, we read, the Spirit clearly says that in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Demons. That's the Bible saying that. People will be involved with seducing and evil spirits. People will compromise, water down the message of Christ, and even accept doctrines of demons, cults, other gods, etc. The devil is more dangerous when he is disguised. Or the devil is dangerous when he is in disguise. The devil actually is very effective and dangerous when he is clothed with religious respectability. There are two questions we must ask. How can we recognize our enemy when he is disguised? What is the devil? Second question, what is the devil doing when he is in his best dress suit? First, he complicates the gospel. He does not say, don't believe in God. He does not say, don't believe in the Bible. He complicates the gospel. He does it by using false leaders, teachers, and doctrines. We read in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15 the following. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, having a mask, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. The simple gospel message is often complicated by Satan, so no one understands it. What is this simple gospel message, someone may ask? Well, let me read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the Bible. That's what the message is. He was buried and rose again according to the Bible. That's what the message is. We are saved by faith alone according to to Jesus. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son, for whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But false teachers and churches teach that we are saved by works or law-keeping, not grace. Apostle Paul puts it this way. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave me himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. The devil's arguments may sound convincing, but they are not true. Don't forget that he is a liar. His lies sound like higher standards of holiness to those who are deceived by his lies. He sometimes ridicules the born-again believers. He ridicules being saved, or at least he pretends to be saved, the person, and yet he teaches and preaches satanic doctrines. Sometimes the devil will come and preach a good message, and at the end will just put a little something, a stink bomb, to just destroy the whole message. And he knows how to do it. He adds to the gospel all kinds of rules, doctrines, and man-made religious activities. But to add anything to faith reduces faith's power. Or to remove, or he removes basic truths and replaces them with humanistic messages. We must hold to the simplicity that is in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, we read that. Now, first I said, he complicates the gospel. Secondly, he contradicts the message of the cross. The devil hates the message of the cross. There are only two messages. Satan's religion says, do this and live, or do nothing, for there is no God. Christ says, it is done, believe and live. Rejecting the cross and the blood shed on the cross is more appealing and politically correct for many today. The cross seems too violent, too bloody, too gross for many. Some hymn books no longer have hymns about the blood. Many ministers don't preach and teach about the blood and its saving power. The devil has been at work brainwashing people with his gospel, social gospel. This all-inclusive, politically correct, social gospel, new age, etc., is useless, not saving gospel. The Bible makes it very clear that the only way to have to heaven is through Jesus and his saving blood. The third thing that the devil does is he causes a lot of controversy and confusion among Christians. Satan's workers appear to be religious and religious like angels, actually, like angels of light. As a matter of fact, those who cause trouble in churches sound so right, so convincing. The devil tries to divide and conquer. Many leaders and people are used by the devil to divide and destroy the church and those who follow them. These false Christians often appear to be super spiritual, but all they do is sow strife and bitterness among the believers. We must learn to recognize the devil even when he comes appearing respectable. Satan promises the best but pays with the worst. He promises honor and pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure and pays with pain. He promises profit and pays with loss. He promises life and pays with death. Resist him when he appears in his best dressed suit. Now, this morning you may say, why are you telling us all this? Why are you talking about the devil and not about Jesus Christ? Well, because I believe the time has come for each one of us to stop for a moment and see where we are in our relationship with Christ. Are we really following Christ and reflecting Him in our daily walk? This morning I was thinking of the word reflecting. And I was asking myself, am I reflecting Christ in my daily life? And I said, often we cannot even reflect anything. As a reflector is a mirror. You take a mirror and you hold it against that light, and that mirror will reflect that light to somewhere else. Or you tilt it a little bit and you'll see that reflection. Or you take a mirror and you turn it toward the sun, and that will be reflecting the sun. But if you take a lot of dirt and make that mirror so filthy and dirty, and you turn it to the light, will reflect nothing. And I believe we as Christians should be mirrors reflecting Christ, and yet there is so much stuff on us. There is so much dirt. There is so much busyness with business and activities, with religious doctrines. I have seen and I have heard so many Christians, born-again believers, who are so busy defending one doctrine, the other doctrine, going into the website and posting things just to prove their point, and yet their life is being ruined with controversy and hatred and bitterness often. Just remember that if you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and you are serving Him, your name is written in the book of life. You are going to heaven, and the devil and his servants and angels are going to hell. Once again, you say, hell, you still believe in hell? The Pope some years ago, not this one, the one before, declared that hell now is not as we understood it. Hell is separation from God. Well, if it was only separation from God, I would say there are many who wouldn't mind that at all. They would say, well, let me sort of do whatever I want to do, let me enjoy my life, and then that's the end. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that our souls are eternal. Our souls will live forever, or die forever, if you wish. And so, when we turn our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we invite Him in our lives, not only He gives us eternal life when we die, but before we die, while we live, we really have that joy and that smile that only God can bring, and the assurance and the understanding and the purpose for being. I mean, a purposeless life is a life that is like a torture. Can you imagine if you ask the question, why am I here? What am I doing here? And if you feel that someone, no one loves you, or someone has betrayed you, you sink deeper and deeper, and you say, what is life all about? And yet when you are saved and you know that God is on your side, or you are on God's side, or you are following Christ and reflecting Him, you know that your life is not only a relationship or your relationship with someone, but your relationship with God and eternity in His presence. Do you have the assurance of your salvation? I hope you do. If not, you can be sure by inviting Christ in your heart and life right now, and then follow Him in His footsteps. Now, after saying all I said about the devil pretending to be a preacher, pretending to be an angel of light, then the nagging question will be in your heart. So how do I know you are not one that is the devil using right now to talk to me? Now, if I was the devil pretending to be who I am, and I was talking against him, that would be foolishness. So that is why Jesus said, if they're not against us, they are with us. And I tell you, the devil is alive, and the devil is active, and all you have to do is look around you and listen to the news and watch the news. Last night you saw thousands of kids dressed in black and breaking and burning. I mean, demonstrations are fine in a society, in a free society, people say, and that's true. And yet, breaking and burning with hatred, and you say, who is doing that? Couldn't be God. And it's not. And at one point, I had said, oh, someone who had done something terrible, animal. And my daughter said, don't please say that. You're offending the animals. I mean, animals won't do that. Animals will not kill for a sport. Animals will not hate. Animals do whatever they do because they have to do to survive. And yet we have been blessed with so many things, and yet we like to destroy and burn and kill and rape and cheat. And you say there is no devil? Well, if there is devil, then we have to know who he is and how he works and how he acts. And if he cannot make you sin out there in the streets, and if he cannot make you become an alcoholic, a drug addict, or whatever, adulterer, or whatever, he will attack you in the church, he will attack you at home, he will destroy your family unless you are on your guard. Jesus said, be on your guard, because the devil, like a roaring lion, although you don't see him, he is like a roaring lion. He is just going around and around to see where he's going to get you next. The best, of course, thing people say is to ignore him. And out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. But that's not true with the devil, because he is spirit. You don't see him. All you see, a young man or a gentleman, is a beautiful lady coming in, gorgeous looking, and he smiles at you, and you had an argument with your wife, and all of a sudden she looks like an angel coming, and the devil says, yes, yes. And then the same thing happened to a student, to a man, and that's how he gets to us. So we must be always ready to smell the devil, to hear to the devil's temptations or tempting words, and looks, and the devil is there, and we are caught into this huge, big power struggle between evil and good, between God and Satan. And I'm so glad that all of us, I hope, most of us have chosen to follow Christ. But we must be on our guard. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us security in you. Heavenly Father, we know that our struggle has not finished yet. We know that there will be temptations and trials and difficulties, but we also know that you are always on our side. And when we cannot fight, and when we are so tired that we cannot walk in the journey of life, you are willing to carry us and help us. Father, I pray for each one of us this morning. May the Holy Spirit touch our hearts and minds, and may the Holy Spirit revive each one of us, mend our lives, mend our families, and strengthen our faith. In your blessed name I pray, amen.